views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub from Empowerment Radio as he addresses some of the most prevailing challenges in our day-to-day lives. Find out how you can use the power of your mind to overcome self-sabotaging patterns and build a solid foundation of confidence and self-respect. Learn cutting-edge tools and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. This is the time to empower yourself. Now, here's your host, Dr. Friedemann Schaub.
Welcome to Empowerment Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Friedemann Schaub, and I'm very happy that you have tuned in to today's show, which will be really interesting and fun because I have invited, I think, one of the most fascinating guests we had so far in Empowerment Radio, and I can't wait to talk with him about his amazing work and all these gifts that he will share with all of us. But for those of you that are new to Empowerment Radio, let me just briefly introduce myself. I am a physician trained in cardiology, a researcher in molecular biology. I cannot even say it anymore. Molecular biology. And I found out at some point that I was just not living my truth. Now, for anyone who has been feeling this way, you know it can be quite shocking to realize that you're not on the right track. And you may just at some point then also feel big question marks coming from within that are saying, so now what? What am I going to do with my life? And for me, it was an interesting journey because I realized that what really makes me happy is not to help people to heal through drugs or through any interventions that I learned in my trainings, but that I really enjoy when people are able to heal themselves from the inside out, when they really tap into their healing potential. And so I focused more and more onto how to tap into this innate ability for us to be well, to overcome illnesses, and also to create more health and wholeness. And in that regard, I became more interested in that intercessor between the mind and the body, which is the unconscious or subconscious mind. I focused on fear and anxiety because I believe that our emotions and our beliefs have a lot to do with our illnesses and dis-ease. There is a transference of the emotions into the body that happens. And so if we're able to heal our emotions and their root causes, we can also support our body and heal whatever physical manifestation that may have been happening as a consequence of, let's say, chronic stress or chronic depression or things like that. And so one of the things that I really feel very strong about on this journey of healing is not just getting rid of emotions or beliefs, because ultimately they are all there for a reason, and there's so much to learn from what we feel and what we think and from our history and from those, you know, shadow aspects of ourself. But I find that what is the most powerful and fulfilling journey when it comes to healing, to grow, and maybe just life in general, is to discover more about yourself and ultimately finding your true self, finding your truth. And that is why I'm so excited about today's guest, who is on that journey as a teacher, as a healer, as an author with the most fascinating background, who also has signed up to help people to empower themselves, to find their truths, to understand more about their innate sacred abilities to be well. And I'm talking about Sergio Magaña, who is the author of several books. And the one book that we want to talk about is this latest, which is published by Hay House. It's The Caves of Power. So I'm just going to bring him right onto the show. Sergio, it's such a pleasure for me to have you on the show. Thank you so much for taking the time.
No, thank you so much for the invitation. For me, it's also a pleasure. And hearing your story is also very inspiring.
Well, I thought we have actually a few things in common, because you also have quite a different background. And you know, one of the things that I found so interesting about you is that you're originally came from a very traditionally Catholic background in Mexico, and then you really just got introduced to all this ancient healing teachings of Tolteca and so on. So tell us a little bit more about your background.
Of course. I was raised in a very traditional family, Catholic. Also religious and very oriented to science. But mm-hmm. The difference was that my mother decided to study. So I was really like kind of raised by my nanny that was working for my parents, that she was like the daughter of the healer of an indigenous group that are named the Otomis, that live very close to Mexico City. So I was almost all day with her, and since I was a child, I began seeing like, because she was supposed to be the next one in the, like the healer of the town, then life decided other things. But for example, when I was a child, many times when I had like an ache or something, she used, for example, to smoke. And then with the blow out the smoke, and then the pain disappeared. And many of these traditional indigenous recipes with plants, with the egg, with that. So I saw that all my life. For me, it was kind of normal. And I think that helped me after, because since I was a child, I saw that the traditional medicine that I respect a lot is not the only possibility, that right. There are many others.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, this Rosa was her name, right?
Yeah.
I mean, she, what you just said with the Rosita, with the smoke, and I mean, you were feeling pain, and then there is your nanny taking some tobacco and, you know, smoking it. And I think she blew some circles around the pain or something like that, right? I mean, You as a child probably were wondering, what is she doing? I mean, you didn't necessarily know what that meant, or may not even have really, any kind of belief in that kind of healing. Would you say you were just completely open and a little curious and it just worked anyhow?
Yeah, because she started working with my parents before I was born. So She was like a kind of second mother. And I saw her doing that, and I knew that it worked. But for example, it was very special because she only did it like kind of in secret for one of my sisters and for me. The other two, she never did anything strange with them. And she always was telling me, don't tell your mother, don't tell your mother. And then like 20 years later, I found out that she was doing also the same thing with my mother.
And your mother probably said, don't tell him, don't tell Sergio.
It was like undercover in all the family.
That's pretty funny. Well, do you, when you see Rosita as the first person you got in touch with these teachings, what got you then, on the way to say, I want to learn more of this, I want to do this myself?
Actually, I never thought that I was going to do something like this. I wanted to be an actor.
Me too. I wanted to be an actor too, and I was not allowed. It's exactly, I thought when I read this about you, yes, that's another similarity.
Oh, wow, yeah. Yeah, I wasn't allowed. So, like, I wasn't allowed to be a, because I saw those things with Rosita, but I didn't really, like, kind of trained myself with her. So then I forgot it, and I became like I wasn't allowed to be an actor, very rebel and that. And so like the way of solving my problems was through spirituality. So I began going to energy workshops and that. And that's how what like the seed of Rosita began flowering.
I see.
And then I found my main teachers that has been like the most interesting experience of my life, because like you said in the beginning, to know yourself, I think is like the best journey that everyone could do.
Yeah. Well, we want to hear more after the break about this experience with your teacher. And also what I find very interesting is your journey from being a healer, a teacher, and in some ways for many people like a guru, to then turning completely around and choosing to empower people to do the healing themselves rather than feeling that you will do it for them, and much more. And I know that also Sergi will share some of those healing techniques and meditations and things he's offering in his book, The Caves of Power, with us today on the show. So stay tuned. We will be right back.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone, guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
What is a brilliant culture? And how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough 5-step process to help you design a culture that is authentic, innovative, and successful. Learn how to create change with Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence, and Claudette Rowley. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit ClaudetteRowley.com.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
Are you ready for a game changer? Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in to Business Game Changers Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
If you are one of the millions of Americans suffering from anxiety, you probably know how powerless and out of control this emotion can make you feel. This is why it is so important to remember that anxiety is created by your mind, which means that you can learn to use your mind to uncreate it. Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. My award-winning book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, provides you with a step-by-step breakthrough process to understand and resolve the root causes of your anxiety and build a solid foundation of confidence and inner peace. If you are ready to take your power back, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com.
Order your copy of Dr. Friedemann Schaub's The Fear and Anxiety Solution today. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com for more information.
Welcome back to Empowerment Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Friedemann, and today I have this wonderful guest, Sergio Magagna. I tried to practice it. the author of The Case of Power, who will share more about what The Case of Power are all about and his healing teachings that come from ancient Mexican traditions, Toltec traditions, and so on. A very fascinating book. I loved reading it, and I learned so much about it. And one of the things I really loved about the book was also that it was so hands-on, and it was really just teaching each of us what we can do to heal ourselves emotionally, physically, ancestrally. So it's a really wonderful resource. But if you have any question for Sergio, and keep in mind, Sergio is also someone who intuitively can certainly say something about what may be going on with you. If you have any questions, need any advice, want to just learn more about those teachings by asking him things that you may have heard or things that you are interested in, call in 888-418-6890. That is again 888-418-6890, or you can also just ask a question on the chat box on Transformation Radio FM or Transformation Talk Radio. Before the break, we just talked about that you were on your journey, and Rosita, your nanny, your second mother, was an important influence for you, but then you met also a teacher that certainly in many ways changed your life. So tell us more about that.
Then, like I told you, I became really a rebel, and my mother was kind of desperate and tried to put me in what she thought it was like a traditional psychology. Uh-huh. And I went to the therapy, and she was a psychologist, but also she was completely in the energy world. And she used the peripheral vision when she was seeing your energetic field. And for example, I still wanted to be an actor. And then she told me for the first time, no, you won't be an actor. She was moving like the eyes in the funny way to see the energy. And she told me, you will be something like me, but one of the very good ones. It was like the first time that it came to my mind that probably I was going to do something like this.
Wow. Now, you said this. I thought this was very fascinating, this eye movement. Can you describe how that works?
Yes. When I was a child, my brother was really like mean with me and that. And Rosita, like a technique or an advice, told me, when he's teasing you, just move the eyes in this posture, and he will like kind of disappear. And I did it like a game. So many times when my mother was shouting or my brother and that, I moved the eyes and they kind of half disappear or disappeared. But she never told me this is the Black Eagle perception, nothing like that. It was much more like without theory. She knew how to do certain things, but there wasn't like a lot of theory behind. But mm-hmm. then I found my... So I was used to do that. My Obsidian Mirror teacher many years after. And the first thing that you learn in an Obsidian Mirror that is a black mirror is to move the eyes in a very similar way like Rosita taught me, to disappear your reflection. Because if you are able to disappear your reflection, you are beyond the mind projection, and then you can begin doing a lot of changes in your life. That's not the only perception. There are many. They are named like animals, like birds. So for example, the normal perception of the material world, if we can call it like that, is called the hummingbird perception. Then is the one of the macaw that allows to see the energetic body, for example, or instead of seeing the mirror, because you practice or with the mirror or with water, you see only the energy. Then is the Quetzal one that allows you to see past lives, ancestors, and then is the black eagle perception, that is when you totally disappear. And there are many others, but with those four, you can make amazing changes.
And those perceptions are all dependent on your eye movements, depending on how your eyes are moved? Or
yeah. The tradition has something that is very poetic. It is said that the lines in your face, your wrinkles, are what you have walked in Mother Earth. They represent your history. Mm-hmm. So it's poetry, but it's quite real. Actually, when we reflect ourselves in a mirror or something, it's a complete projection of the mind that recreates you with all your story, with the problems that you have, with the talents, with that. So if you are able to begin moving the eyes in a certain way that your reflection disappears, so you are like overcoming like the your own projection of the mind. And for example, the discipline of the mirror is going through all what was named Tezcatlipoca. Tezcatlipoca for the academics was like a god of the ancient Mexico that means smoking mirror. Mm-hmm. And has many, many names. But if you stop seeing it like a god, because it was said that Tezcatlipoca in his mirror was going to give you a fortune or misfortune. But who's Tezcatlipoca? It's you, your own unconscious. So you go one by one of the names, that is the idea of you, your story, the inner voice that cheats you and tells you this is not possible, this cannot be healed. Then the part of you that sabotages you, your own enemy, the part of you that loves to make war, and you go one by one and then you disappear it in the mirror and you ask the mirror to pull it away. And for me, because this is very interesting, like you read Caves of Power, I was doing amazing healings for the people, but I hadn't changed myself even a bit.
Mm-hmm. Which I thought was really interesting, because so often it is said that you have to first, you know, go through your own healing crisis, or you have to be the one that has basically already all together before you do your own healing work, and you just did the opposite.
Yeah, and I truly believe it. I think that if you work to be perfectly well before trying to heal someone else, and that you will never start. Because
that is so true. I mean, how often do people, and you know, I was certainly in the same place where we think we have to study more, we have to know more, we have to be better, we have to be more whole, we cannot really come in our broken, vulnerable selves and try to help others. That's impossible. We are imposters. And I loved that you just saw it in a complete different perspective.
Completely, because the results of the healings were amazing, what we can call miracles. And the first one that was really like surprised was me. I said, really? But my personal life wasn't good at all. But I think that healing people also created like a good energy that came back to you to allow your inner healing.
Well, that is why I think sometimes my clients should pay me, because there is so much I can learn from them and so much I get from working with them. And it's true. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. You do heal as you are helping and supporting others. But what, you know, when you said miracles, you were known in Mexico as a miracle man. I mean, even like a politician kidnapped you to wanting to have healing from you, right?
Yeah, that was a story that I didn't know if to put it in the book or not, but it was truth. It was like I have a radio show for 15 years in Mexico City in the mainstream radio, and I was 1 hour every day, and every day people were calling with testimonials, not only about healings that I did, about things that they learned and how they healed a lot of people more and that and that. So it began getting big, really, really big, and sometimes workshops of 2,000 people and that. And even though that my personal life wasn't good at all, I didn't feel guilty and nothing like that, because what I was teaching to the people was effective.
Mm. Now, you are saying that you were teaching them already self-healing methods, and they called in and said, you know, it really worked. Are some of those methods that you were teaching them in the book, or are these complete different methods that you share there?
Yeah, many of them are in the book. For example, the astral surgeries and that. And also, I taught some other things, but for the case of power, I chose like the best of the techniques.
And you know, they're really powerful. And just by, you know, trying them out, I mean, you know, you advise often to do them for, you know, many days in a row, because this is certainly the mastering of the technique that is also deepening the effects. But, you know, just going through some of the techniques one time, I found it very, very fascinating how, when I read your book, and not even when I tried those breathing techniques, for example, but just by reading about them, something shifted inside of me. It was almost like as if the book had an energy in itself. What you were describing about, you know, these different symbols and the different ways of seeing, you know, basically the whole universe connected with each other, that in itself shifted a perspective and energy. It touched into something inside of me. So I find, you know, just your words, and that maybe what's between the lines of the book has healing potential. So I thank you for sharing this. Now, after the break, I want to talk about these healing techniques, and maybe you can share a little bit with us what the Caves of Power is helping people with, and then hopefully guide us also, for example, through an easy breathing exercise or something like this. So stay tuned. We will be right back with Sergio Magaña of the Caves of Power. And we will talk more about what we can do to find our true selves and tap into our healing potential.
Tune in to Dynamics of Diversity Radio, scripting the new narrative for immigration with leading experts Kripa Upadhya and Steve Tanija on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will remove the noise that often accompanies discussions on this topic and share a new perspective on the dynamics of immigration and diversity, ever reminding us that together we are all at the core of innovation, excellence, and positive change. Visit OrbitLawPLLC.com for upcoming topics.
You, yes you, can be the highest version of yourself. Wellness coach and natural beauty expert Dr. Agnes Renkel is on a mission to help you play the game of your life. Win in vibrancy, health, and beauty. Because you deserve it. Dr. Agnes goes beyond the limits in her personal coaching sessions to revolutionize health and wellness. Now is the time to unleash your true power. For more information, visit DrAgnesFrankel.com.
Beyond being this amazing neurologist, inventor, author, Dr. Dan Cohen has been called to look at technology and look at personal and spiritual development and merge these together. this technology uses the healing and psychospiritual effects of synchronized sounds, vibrations, electromagnetic fields, and how that interacts with us in our nervous system in what we're calling the Soltech chair.
The Soltech lounge induces profound levels of relaxation that transition over time into deep meditative states. The synchronized sound, vibration, and magnetic field induce these states. The subject doesn't have to work at it.
To learn more, go to soltechwellbeing.com. That's S-O-L-T-E-C, wellbeing.
Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub for Empowerment Radio and learn breakthrough solutions to switch out of survival mode and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in the first and third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific to Empowerment Radio with host Dr. Friedemann Schaub on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit the fearandanxietysolution.com to learn more.
Hi, this is Leslie Fontaine, and my show is Sheer Alchemy on TransformationTalkRadio.com. When we're bogged down with our emotions, the hardships that plague us in our relationships, at work, our finances, we literally can't see the higher plane where we could be operating from. Tune in to Leslie Fontaine, Sheer Alchemy on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Well, welcome back to Empowerment Radio. I'm here talking with Sergio, the author of Caves of Power. And before the break, we just talked about these ways of having different perceptions and how we, when we are looking in the periphery, we are able to just stop to project our ideas about ourselves and get more deep insights of the truth of who we are. Now, the Caves of Power is something that really is about leading us to our truth. Now, you say the Caves of Power were in Mexican tradition or Toltec tradition about the, I mean, similar to the chakra system?
Yes, there are many, many metaphors in the ancient knowledge. I think in all the traditions. So it was said that it was a place that was called Aztlan, that was all white and people were really good and something like that. That if you see Aztlan, sounds very, very similar to Atlantis. That I'm not saying that is, but it's the sound is very similar, and that seven groups came from there, and that they used to live in a cave. That it was called Chicomostuc, the Cave of Power. Of course, that's like the explanation of the pilgrimage and that. And in that cave, many magic things happened. But in the deeper teachings, it is said that all of us have that Cave of Power. That is what connects your tonal, your Nahual, that is your unconsciously, we want to say it like that, and your dreams with the outer world. And that the portals of that cave would be that in Nahuatl, that is was the language of Aztecs and Toltecs, and is called Totonalcayos. That is very similar to chakras.
And do you then, you know, in the book help people to, you know, when we hear and work with chakras and, you know, different energy techniques, energy healing techniques. They focus on balancing the chakras, creating the flow in between and so on. Is this something that the book is teaching people as well, how to do that?
The book has a lot much more. Of course, if you heal yourself or you rejuvenate or whatever result you have, you are balancing your energy system. The book is more based about the specific, like the Totonalcayos or chakras. I only included one technique, that is Quetzalcoatl, that It is very interesting because in the world, Quetzalcoatl is not like the feather serpent. And everyone thinks that it was a god and something. Quetzalcoatl means the rising of the serpent. Of course, the complete discipline that would be like Kundalini was to rise the serpent from the coccyx to the forehead, to exit like a serpent from your forehead, and then to transform that serpent in a Quetzal, that is a bird, to fly to the sun. And then the cultures mixed that and created like the feather serpent. But it's really like Kundalini that is included in Caves of Power, the Mexican version.
So, you know, what I wonder about, you know, this whole system, and we talked about it in the break, what fascinated me was really how there are similarities. You mentioned Kundalini, there is a chakras, you talk about also the different organs associated with different emotions, liver, anger, kidneys, fear, and guilt, which is very similar to Chinese medicine. And so what's fascinating is that there are so many overlaps with other techniques and other traditions, and in some ways you could say there is a truth that is probably connecting all those traditions that also then you are sharing with the readers in your book, this universal truth of healing, the universal truth of mind, body, spirit, and beyond. Do you have a sense that you know, there is a reason why it's all connected?
I think that there was like a common source that I don't know where and why, because there are many theories that then splitted around the world, and it was developed, of course, with the environment of each country, and that in because it has a lot of similarities, like we are saying, but all the traditions have like their unique and different thing that probably they developed more because of the environment or what they were more interested. And for example, I love to see similarities and not differences, because I think that even if we that we are supposed to be in a spiritual path, and that we begin saying I am right and the others are not, is in the way that every fight starts every war, and that so. Yeah, and I feel really happy every time that I see, okay, this is very similar in Egypt. This is very similar in Kabbalah. And also, I'm very happy to see like the unique things of each of them.
And, you know, this was just to what you just mentioned about when we go into focusing on the differences, there is a lot of, you know, discord, there is maybe conflict and even war. In your book, you mentioned that according to the Toltec numerology, the planet is right now going through the number 11, which stands for change. And can you elaborate on that? So what does it mean for each individually that we are through this time of change? And can you also see that there are maybe forces or maybe even governments that are resisting change right now? Or what's your perception on that?
Yes. And thank you for the kind words about the book. I really appreciate it. But if you see in the book, I explain a lot of numbers, because all the Mayan and Toltec tradition and that was about numbers, about astronomy and that. So it was like a deep understanding that things repeat themselves cyclically. Mm-hmm. And the basis from the 1 to the 20. Of course, 11 means that, and it has to be how the numbers are written. Because, for example, to write 1, you put 1 point or 1 ball. And then 2 balls, 3 balls, and then 5, it's a line. So if you are going to write in the ancient way 11, it would be 2 lines and 1 ball, that is the new starting. But so we are in that process. And actually, For the ancient Mexicans, the cycles were measured in periods of 6,625 years that were named suns. And now we are in the transition between the fifth to the sixth sun. Which is the difference? The suns are periods in which the collective consciousness is following one path in the majority. So the fifth sun that is finishing, it was a sun of the tonal. Tonal means the awake. So when we're awake, we are looking outside. God is outside. Satisfaction is outside. Medicine is outside. Everything is outside. And we're finishing that that period. Now we're going to a sun of the Nahual, in which it will be like sleeping. So when you close your eyes, what you must look is your inside, your dreams. And the first thing that you're going to see are your underworlds, things that you don't like about you. And we are in that period. That's why a lot of, if you remember 30 years ago, people were really happy just with their family and a good job and going to the church on Sunday. Now, not anymore. But of course, when two different realities are existing at the same time, in a son of the Nahual, if the conquest is yourself, so it doesn't matter if you are rich, if you are beautiful and that. And of course, there are governments and groups of power that love that type of power that doesn't want it to finish.
And it sounds, again, similar to the change of the age of Pisces going into the age of Aquarius. I mean, there is certainly also, you know, just some similarity there that we are just like in the cusp in this transitionary period where the old ways, the old energies were about focusing on what's in it for me and focusing on the external and focusing on the material. And then there is now the time where it's more about, you know, the internal and the connection to others and the compassion and the non-material values that we are seeking and wanting to live more fulfilled lives with. So again, it sounds like very similar in that regard. But do you have a set? Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
It actually is the same count. What is called precession of equinoxes. That's how the eras of Pisces, Aquarius, and all the signs are split. The same precession of equinoxes is split into 12. And that's why you have periods of 2,000 and a little bit more of years for each era. The ancient Mexicans split it in four and created suns, but it's based in the same count.
I see. Not knowing of each other, just having their own ways of figuring things out. But it's wonderful just to see how everything is connected in this regard. Now, is there a specific technique, an exercise that you feel can help us to go through these times? You know, it's a bumpy road. It's a bumpy road when two consciousness streams are right now overlapping or maybe even colliding. It's a bumpy road when we are shifting from our external attachments to more focusing on the inside. And it's a bumpy road when we are looking on the inside and, as you said, not always liking what we see and maybe not always really understanding what it means. Can you share with us something that can help us through those times?
Of course. And how long do I have?
You can do 5 minutes.
Okay. Okay. I will explain very quickly. Theomania are mathematical exercises that are done through the breathing. The number 13 is related to the sun. And the number 8 is related to the darkness, not in good or bad way, but it will be like your conscious mind and your unconscious mind. So if you begin breathing with your nose counting 13 and commanding the healing of the sun and your greatest destiny. And then you breathe out, counting with the mouth, counting eight, taking out all your problems and that. Normally, it's done at least four times, like a first movement in which you put the intention, a second to heal the ancestors, a third to heal the emotions, and a fourth movement to how can I say it, to harmonize with the earth. So I will try to do it very quickly. So everyone close your eyes if it's possible. Take a deep breath. And when you breathe out, take out all the heavy energy. Take another deep breath. And when you breathe out, tune with the mathematics of the cosmos. The number 13 and 8 represent cosmic measures. We will start breathing in with our nose, the energy of the sun, counting 13. Like all of us can count in a different rhythm, I will be counting for all of us. And then you will breathe out all your problems and health issues, whatever, when we breathe out counting eight. First movement, 13, eight, 13, eight, 13, eight, 13, eight. First movement, establish the intention for this exercise. What you want to heal, what you want to change. Second movement, 13, 8, 13, 8, 13, 8, 13, 8. Now, take the energy of the sun through your bones, erasing all the ancestral patterns that are creating suffering in your body. Just take the energy of the sun to your bones and erase any ancestral pattern that is creating suffering and heal your ancestors. Third movement, 13, 8, 13, 8, 13, 8, 13, 8. Now, third movement, reawake the sacred power of your blood and heal your anger in the liver, your sadness in the lungs, your traumas in the stomach, your fears in the kidneys. Fourth movement, 13, 8, 13, 8, 13, 8, 13, 8. For the movement, now just allow the energy of the Mother Earth enter through your feet and harmonize yourself with the earth. And now join your hands. Om Etel, that means the two energies combined to create, that everyone here heal the ancestors, the emotions, and enter in perfect symphony with the earth. Om Etel. Now open your eyes. A very simple one.
Wow, that was wonderful. Absolutely fascinating. Now, one thing that I wondered, when you said 13, were you counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7? Because I couldn't count that fast. How fast are you usually doing it? I think you sped up probably a little bit.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, like that.
Really?
Yeah, I'm counting. It's not just saying the number. It's really counting.
When I did it, it was, I counted 1, 2, 3. I was reading your book, and I thought, wow, this is really not easy to 13 inhaling and then, basically 8 exhaling. I mean, it's a practice, but I didn't know that you can count that fast. So it doesn't matter if it's 13 seconds or 5 seconds. It's just the counting numbers that count. That's important.
Yeah. And of course, it depends how much time you have. In the workshops, I try to count very fast, because if not, people that don't have a lot of lung capacity, they begin coughing and that.
Right. But it was really a wonderful exercise. I noticed something for me. It was quite interesting when it was about healing in the bones, the ancestor. There is something about my mother that I discovered just through this exercise today that I wasn't really aware of, that it causes me suffering, but it does. And it is that I really care about animals. And my mother was, certainly someone who always cared about animals, but not only caring, she worried, in the winter, she was feeding the animals in the woods, she brought chicken to the foxes and noodles to the crows, and really to the, I think, wonderful extent, but also it was always connected to some worry and concern. And I think caring doesn't necessarily mean you have to be worried. And so that was a nice way for me to also disconnect from that ancestral, baggage that I was still carrying with me. So thank you for that.
Oh, welcome. A real, real pleasure.
One of the things also that you wrote in the book, and I think, we don't have enough time necessarily to go in all depth, but it was about dreams. And, the book is basically, as you said, teaching the 7 healing methods or healing ways that you do when you're more conscious. But then there are apparently 13 that you do when you are in your dream state. Is that right?
Yeah. One big part of the tradition, it was what is called Nahualism, that is the knowledge about creating your life through your dreams, and that. So it was said that 7 caves of power were like the chakras, but then the other 13 are certain things that when you are lucid in a dream that you can do to create your life and to change. Mm-hmm. So it's amazing.
And what would you say is your, and I'm sure there are several ways, but what is a way to do lucid dreaming that you find fairly easy to learn?
To be really honest, dreaming is not easy to learn. it will take time. But is the, like I said in the beginning, like one of the most amazing experiences, because you see your true self. And there are, for example, I have other book that is called The Toltec Secret. All the techniques of how to start, how to begin planting dreams, telling your unconscious, I want to dream with this serpent and I will be healed. I want to dream with this crocodile and I will make this business. And that's planting of dreams. And also, there are techniques of how to slow the heart and begin feeling heavy, then stiff, then cold, that are all the symptoms of dreaming. And then when the change in your breathing, you begin hearing yourself that sometimes it's snoring and that, then you enter in a dream without losing consciousness. Those are techniques that you can learn.
So what is that book called that teaches you these things?
The Toltec Secret.
The Toltec Secret. Now, how can people find out more about you, your teachings, your classes, anything that may really be interested to them? What can they do to find you?
In sergiomagana.com or Sergio Magaña in Facebook.
Okay, how do you spell it? Just for those that don't know how to spell it.
Sergio. Uh-huh. And then the other is Magana.
Ah, perfect. And all in one word, SergioMayana.com.
Yeah.
Or in Facebook. I think your website is just in renovation state, right? And will be probably up soon. Now, you can also find all of Sergio's book on Amazon and other outlets. And I you do offer classes, and there is a lot to, you know, that when people want to learn more about your teachings, they can do to find you and work with you. So I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for this wonderful hour. Unfortunately, it is only an hour, but it was fascinating just to hear your story and be in that wonderful healing space that you created through the breathing. So thank you very much. Now, is there any message that you would like to share with the listeners to end the show?
Yeah, of course, that now that we understand that we are in transition, I really will suggest to people to do their own work and to know themselves and to be happy after that.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We will be back in 2 weeks. And until then, I hope you will tune in again and listen to the replays that you can find on Transformation Talk Radio or on Dr. Friedman Schaub, the YouTube page, or also on the website, thefearandanxietysolution.com, where you can find also out more about the work I'm offering, the seminars and individual sessions, books and CDs. Thank you very much for tuning in. Thank you, Sergio, again. Thank you, Justin, for producing the show. And I wish you a happy, truthful, and fulfilling day. Goodbye.
You've been listening to Empowerment Radio with Dr. Friedemann Schaub. Join Dr. Friedemann the first and third Wednesday each month at 11 a.m. Pacific as he addresses some of the most prevailing challenges of our daily lives. Discover how you can use the power of your mind to overcome stress, anxiety, and overwhelm and create a solid foundation of confidence and self-esteem. Learn cutting-edge tools so that you can approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. To learn more about what Dr. Schaub can do for you, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com.